Okay, and just like that, we are going to launch podcast number two for you, our investors in Puma Venture Capital. This is Amit Hazan, founder and managing partner of Puma. And I have with me once again Vip Patel, co-founder of Puma as well. Vip, how you doing?
Yeah, no, all is good. Just returned back from our trip to China, so that's why it's a good time to do this podcast after kind of fact-finding missions across the world looking for unique robotic technology.
Yeah, that's terrific. I think this is going to be the topic for the day is China, systems in China, and an update on how they're all doing. And this is one of the unique things that I feel so grateful to have the opportunity to listen to, which is not just someone going to China and talking to companies, which is interesting, but Vip also got a chance to play with a lot of these systems. And what better diligence can you have than that? So, Vip, maybe tell us a little bit about going out there, who all you met with, and then we can maybe take it one by one.
Yeah, I rarely just take spontaneous trips. Well, actually, I don't think I've ever gone just to look at technology. It's usually for a conference. But when we started to do the Society of Robotic Surgery meeting, all these Chinese companies kept popping up on the radar who wanted to come. So I felt that I should go and see what they have. And so I made a trip out there. In 5 days, I saw five different robotic companies. And with real robots, we saw MicroPort, we saw Kangduo, we saw Edge Medical, we saw Shiruyi, we saw Renovo. I mean, these are all independent companies that have robots that are functional, either on the market or about to go on the market or for approval in the next 6 months or so. And so it was quite an eye-opening, surprising trip, probably the most eye-opening trip in 20 years of my career.
Yeah, that's quite a statement. And so let's get into it and hear what you learned, and you named the five. So maybe we'll take them one by one and just get a sense from you of what do they have? When we say robotic systems, are we imagining a multi-port system like Da Vinci, or give us a good description, and then we can get into your own experience as you got on to some of these robots. Let's start
Yeah,
maybe with Renovo. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I ended up actually testing all of them. I got to operate on all of them on the animal model. Renovo was one of the systems I used. It was very similar to a Da Vinci, forearm system, immersive console, zero learning curve. It worked exactly the same. And it worked very much, like very close to an Xi system. What's interesting about that company is, the founder, John Ma, is ex-Intuitive, and his right-hand man Ying is J&J. So these guys are seasoned American professionals, 20, 30 years in the business. So they understand the issues around patents and IP very well. And so they've modified their systems very well to be able to go not only through China, but internationally. And I think most of the Chinese companies said they wanted to be global. And so Renovo was very impressive. I used it, worked very well. And I think they're starting their trials, I think, this week, and they anticipate they'll be done in 6 months.
Yes, and that we're talking about China trials here. A couple of things you said, Vip, I want to make sure I follow up on. First, just to make sure we all kind of have the right vision in our minds of the system. It's a forearm system. Am I correct in thinking that it's kind of more modular, like the Medtronic Hugo system, where the arms are separated? They're not coming from a boom above. They're each on their
Yeah,
own stand.
this one was, but the varied companies all had different versions. Some had three arms, some had four arms. There was one with a five-arm modular system. There was a single port. There were companies that had five different types of robotic systems, like MicroPort actually, I think, had six or seven different type of robotic systems: ortho, neuro, soft tissue, multi-port, single port. And so what was amazing was the array of systems and the quality. I think that's what we were not sure, is would the quality of the system be good? And the quality, in the short time I used it, was actually very good, very professional, beautiful facilities. And I think there are advantages. They have just a massive amount of human resources. The labor's cheaper, and everything can be done much cheaper there. And I think that's a huge advantage for them. And their innovation cycles are so short. What we would say, well, it's going to be 3 years. I think they'd probably say 6 to 12 months. And that's what's impressive, is they're able to innovate at such a fast rate and innovate with quality.
Yeah, I think this company Renovo, who I met with as well, said that they've only spent about 40 million bucks to get to where they are today, and that's a new generation for me. The former generation that was going after four-arm multi-port type systems were spending into the hundreds of millions before they got to the level where this company seems to be getting to. And so the comment that really struck me, Vip, was, we've been talking for years, and every time there's a new system out, I ask you about it. And, whether it's Medtronic and Hugo or CMR or what have you, you were always very good with us in kind of being honest about the benefits and the drawbacks. And, I don't think I ever heard you say something like you said about the Renovo system, where you felt like you could get on the system, you didn't need any training, and it didn't feel that much different. I think in the past you've told me, if you think about Hugo, you think about it almost like a Da Vinci SI, right? They're like at least one generation back, if not two. Now, is it different for you with your experience on Renovo? As I know it was only animal studies, but you feel like they're more progressed than maybe a Hugo is?
Yeah, I mean, actually, all five companies had systems where I didn't have any trouble. That was what was interesting, is all five companies had interesting robots that just didn't have any issue learning them, because they work very similar. They're very intuitive in many ways, and they worked well. That's what was a surprise to all of us. It wasn't just one company had one robot. It was multiple companies having multiple different types of robot, all with quality. That's, I think, what was why I said, in 20 years, that was the most startling trip I've ever taken.
Yeah, so what procedure did you do? It was a cadaver, right?
Yeah, we did some cadavers, we did some animals. I was able to do, with the Renovo system, I was able to do a vesicoureteral anastomosis in 5 minutes flat. And that's not easy to do, even with a Da Vinci Xi. And we were able to do it, and it was able to do every angle, every rotation that I wanted, no issues. What was also interesting was, with three of the companies, I was able to do telesurgery on an animal model. 1,000 kilometers away, 1,500 kilometers away, and 3,000 kilometers away. So they figured out telesurgery with pretty much no latency. I didn't notice any. I was able to operate pretty much normally. So
Okay, so
that's another one.
let's plant the flag here. That's quite a statement. And I want to make sure people understand this, because I know, folks have heard that telesurgery is possible. Some have done this. Vip, before this trip, had you done any telesurgery in the US with the Da Vinci system? Do you have any experience with this? Was this your first chance to do it?
No one I know except Jack Marsco has ever done telesurgery or even seen it. I never seen it. Wasn't really thinking about it, because we kept being told time lag, it's going to take a few years. We need to figure out how to slow down time or change the codecs. And there was always a reason why we couldn't do it. And I go there and they're like, oh, you want to try it? I said, sure. And yeah, I mean, I was there talking to the surgeon and he was in a city 3,000 kilometers away. And, they had an animal model. They had set it up for me. And I was able to do a partial nephrectomy on an animal with it. I was able to do a vesicoureteral anastomosis. I mean, you notice a little bit, but I didn't really notice any delay. And I didn't see the signal drop either. I mean, all this stuff needs to be tested. I think the telesurgery thing is interesting, that they were able to do it off a 5G network. I think that it was not a dedicated line, which is very good. And I think the key on all these systems is, I'm actually going to go back in a few months. And I said, look, I would like to work with your surgeons and actually do real patients. I think that until I do real patients, patients who may not be optimal, body habitus, then you really test the system. And so I qualified all of my remarks to every company and said, I'll tell you it when it's ready, when I can operate on a real person with your team. And we can do people who are not optimal body habitus, which we often see in the United States and Europe. And so technology looks amazing. I was very impressed, but I'm going to go back and do more.
Yeah, that's terrific. But from a telesurgery perspective, was there, you said you did three different lengths, and I don't know if that was with three different companies. Was there one specific robot that you'd call out as being kind of the best thus far in terms of latency or other topics that are important for telesurgery?
Yeah, I think it's hard to evaluate that part. I think we were able to do it. I think initially I was just surprised I was doing it. I was just enjoying it. I think when I go back, I'll know more on the telesurgery part. There's a lot of questions I still need to ask. I just was really surprised how, they were each independently able to put it together kind of very quickly. I asked like the week before, and they were able to do it. So that's quite amazing.
So let's pick your brain for just a maybe a minute on each of these other companies. We talked a little bit about Renovo and your experience there. Maybe let's go through the other four. Microport, what's your ex what was your experience like with the Microport robots?
Yeah, so Microport, I mean, that's an amazing company. It's a global company. It's like going onto Google campus. Just a massive amount of buildings, thousands of engineers, IND, and they're obviously well known in the cardiac space, the neuro space, the ortho space. So they're already big players, and they have some robots already. And I think they have like five of them already out there, and they're working on two more. So multiple different types of robotic systems, and I mean they're a real player to be dealt with. They already are globally known. They're a big company, and they can innovate fast. And so their production line was just like going to Intuitive, watching the production for the to my robot. It was amazing. It was just lined up exactly like you would see here in the US.
What does that robot look like? Is that another one where the instruments are separated? Is the console
No,
like
it wasn't
Intuitive's, or is it open?
modular. It was very much like a Da Vinci with a immersive console.
Immersive console, right? And Renovo also is an immersive console, right?
Whereas the other ones had were not immersive, the other three.
Okay. Did Microport also have a single port robot, or was it all multi-port?
Yeah, they had a single port as well.
Did you get a chance to play with that one?
No, we just used the multi-port this time. But yeah, they just kind of had a whole array of systems, orthopedics, neuro, cardiac, and so they're very diverse in their robotic approach.
They're taking a shot at a lot of different areas. How about Chirui?
Yeah, Shrewi was the single port system. We met them when they came to the AUA meeting. They were the only Chinese robotic company, and they drew quite a crowd because everyone, was surprised that they were here and they had a single port system. And they're probably one of the younger companies, but innovating super fast. Kai, their founder, was trained in the US, expert in robotics. And I mean, they're innovating very, very fast. So I think they have just finished their trials clinical trials, and I think they're about to be approved very soon, within the next week or so in China, and they'll launch.
Okay. And Edge Medical?
Yeah, Edge, actually they're in Shenzhen, but I went to Beijing to use it, and that was the one where I operate at 3,000 kilometers away. Immersive console, just like Intuitive, not non-modular. Was able to use it without any issue, 3,000 kilometers. It went very well.
Yeah, that's quite incredible. 3,000 kilometers, quite incredible. Says a lot about the system too. But just to hear that that's happening is a memorable comment. And Kengdo is the last one.
Yeah, very innovative group, very smart group. I think that was 1,500 kilometers the way I operated, and they had a modular system, they had an open console, they had the ability to use three arms, four arms, or even five arms. They were able to really kind of mix and match for anybody. Very beautiful looking console, very sleek, elegant, no issues using it. As soon as I got on, everything worked just like I would expect it to work at home. They did, and they're innovating very fast as well.
Yeah, that's quite encouraging. And certainly, Vip, I think about these comments and what it means for our process and thinking about investments in this space. So now we're talking about these markets where Intuitive is already progressing and penetrating, and Medtronic and J&J, and not far, behind. Soon Medtronic will be in more markets, and J&J coming, and CMR and others we've seen. This trip for you, it really made me rethink a lot of things. Certainly more bullish on the anticipation of robotic adoption. I think especially in talking to folks like the companies, the folks at Renovo, where they're planning on pricing that, at least what they told me was somewhere around a third to half the price and of an Intuitive. What that could mean for international markets and adoption is really significant. So it certainly makes me feel very optimistic from a robotic adoption perspective. But it also makes me think that a lot of the opportunities that you and I and the team are going to see are not necessarily going to be in the capital, in these picks and shovels, that we are going to probably go through something like the kind of non-healthcare tech segment went through. And the far more interesting stories will end up being those that have a lot more, applications that go around the capital piece. The capital piece itself, it seems like we're closer and closer to solving for that competitively, where Renovo, as we were mentioning, just spent $40 million and has a viable robot. We have not seen that in the past. So it gets me thinking a lot about where we should be going, and excited about the many applications and white spaces where other robotic opportunities are going to come up and build around what is this very large number of robots that will end up being sold and put out there around the world in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, robots aside, what's always interested me about this is the humanitarian possibilities. I mean, imagine if we could give robots to different hospitals of less socioeconomic advanced countries. That would be amazing. This technology shouldn't just be for rich countries and rich hospitals and so forth. It should be, the benefits are undoubted, and it should be available to more. And I think that's what's really nice about this. And then when you look at telesurgery, the humanitarian implications of being able to operate from a center of excellence and maybe help out a surgeon in a rural area who's in trouble. I mean, this is what really excites me. And I think that's really the reason for me to go, is to make robots more globally accessible, make robots be allowed to do what we can. I mean, expert surgeons should be able to help people who aren't just at their own institution. And I think that's really what's exciting to me. It doesn't matter too much for where it comes from or who makes it. It needs to be cheaper. It needs to be available to more people, and people who know should be able to help people who don't know. And I think that's what's going to be really, really interesting about these new systems. If they are cheaper, if they are able to do telesurgery, we'll be able to do what we're supposed to do as physicians, is help others.
I couldn't agree more. And so one thing I wanted to ask you is, it just at a high level, I don't know if you have specifics, it just roughly, are the companies you met with, are they planning on coming into the developed markets, be that Western Europe or the US as well? Or is their focus over the next, certainly kind of the more foreseeable future, the visible kind of next, call it 3+ years, going to continue to be in developing nations?
No, I think they're all pretty clear. They say we're global companies. They're going to come to Latin America, Europe, the US. Obviously our regulatory is different and they're going to have to deal with that. But these guys weren't dummies. They're all ex-US guys who already know about the patents that have expired and the ones that they needed to work around, and they were very articulate in talking about why they weren't concerned about coming, knowing that they would have to do trials and go through regulatory and it would take time. But they were thinking that they had good avenues because they had worked for these companies before and they kind of knew the landscape. So I think they'll start in Latin America. I think that's probably a good place for them to start. Easier to get through, less regulatory, lot of need. Then Europe and US, but before that, probably Asia. Well, that's where they'll start, Asia and India. And then obviously the Middle East is there too. So there's a lot of opportunities. The US is probably going to be last for many of these, but you never know.
Anything else that comes to mind that we didn't cover, Vip, that you felt was interesting or memorable to you?
I think the key is, I think the balance of power will change in robotics. It's not going to be US only anymore. At SRS, you see 50 different robotic systems coming from all over. You see cheaper systems that are very viable. If these Chinese systems work like they did for me and they work consistently well and they're able to sell them at half the cost, why does Asia need Da Vinci's? They don't. But like I said, we have to be able to use them and test them and make sure that they work as well as we expect them. I got a small taste of it. I'm going to go back and test them all some more. But if they work like they did the first time and they're reliable and they're cheap, I think that's a massive humanitarian benefit to the world to have these things there. And I think we should support it as long as they're safe for the patients. I think that's important.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Some ways to go, clinical trials to be had, but that does feel like a very incremental trip. And certainly, as I was mentioning, to the way I think about the robotic landscape developing over the next several years. And so, Vip, thanks for doing the trip and all you do. I think some of the statements you made, and there's not many people on earth that have done that. So we love to hear it. And everyone listening, if you have questions for us, this is always going to be the case. You can always email us. You're part of our family, so to speak. So we can help. If you're curious about anything that we said and you want some more feedback, just email me and I will make sure your questions get answered. And this is Vip and I signing off for our second podcast. Take care, everyone. See you, Vip.
Yeah, see you.